ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् दासशङ्करमध्यमाः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः We have completed second section of the second Mundaka. I said last class, the concluding mantra of the first section of second Mundaka. A significant mantra. Because Upanishad having presented the Srishtihi in 8 mantras, that all these things have come into existence from Brahman. So what is that final lesson we're supposed to derive from this Srishti? That is very briefly presented in this 10th mantra. Purushaye Vedam Vishram Karma Tapo Brahma Paramrutam. There's only one line. The 10th mantra is actually only one line. Purushaye Vedam Vishwam Tapo Brahma Paramrutam. So all these things have originated from Brahma. Therefore, what all have come? The Upanishad briefly says again, Idam Vishwam. One word is enough. Having presented few things have come into existence from Brahma, Upanishad actually says, Idam Vishwam, this universe, Purushaha Eva, Idam Vishwam Purushaha Eva. This entire universe of multifarious beings, innumerable, countless beings, of countless forms, names and functions. This entire universe is nothing but Purushaha. The macrocosmic being, the person, which is Ishvaraha Brahma. Idam Vishwam, what is this Vishwam? It again says, Karma Tapaha. Karma Tapaha, two words are used. So the word karma and tapaha. Karma stands for karma, the word tapaha stands for upasanam. So karma and tapaha means karma and upasanam. So karma stands for all activities, secular, sacred, religious activities, the Vedic rituals, all activities. And the tapaha stands for upasanam, meditation, mental activity, a pure mental activity. So which implies and also all their results. So all forms of activities, physical, oral, mental activities and their results are meant by these two words, tapaha and karma. Karma and tapaha. So this entire universe can be taken to be nothing but the physical, oral, mental activities and their results. So all the forms, the names, the functions, the experiences, everything results. Comes under the category of results. This entire universe is nothing but Purushaha. Purushaha Eva. That thing which is not Ishvara. Why? Because everything has come into existence from Brahma means everything here, this entire universe is the karyam. Sanskrit word is better. Karyam. இது ஜகத் இஸ் காரியம் அண்ட் பிரம்ம ஜெகத் காரணம். ஜெகத் காரணம் இஸ் பிரம்ம. பிட்வீன் ஜெகத் அண்ட் பிரம்ம, விச் இஸ் சகுணம் பிரம்ம ஈஸ்வரா, த சம்பந்த இஸ் காரண காரிய சம்பந்த. காரணக்காரிய சம்பந்த மீன்ஸ் வாட்? ரியலி ஸ்பீக்கிங், வென் எவர் காரணக்காரிய சம்பந்த இஸ் டிஸ்கஸ்ட், வாட் இஸ் இம்ப்ளைட் இஸ் தி இன்செப்பரபிலிட்டி ஆஃப் தி காரியம் ஃப்ரம் இட்ஸ் காரணம். தி இஃபெக்ட் இஸ் இன்செப்பரபிள் ஃப்ரம் தி காஸ். Why? Because the effect cannot exist independently without the cause. Because the effect does not have independent existence, effect does not have countability. Effect is not countable as a parallel reality. Therefore, effect is taken to be what? Mithya. Any effect is not unreal, not non-existent. At the same time, effect is not real, satyam also. Effect is neither real nor unreal. Why it is not real? Because effect does not have independent existence of its own. Why it is not unreal? Because it enjoys existence. Effect enjoys existence, therefore it is not unreal. Effect is not real because does not have independent existence of its own. Therefore, and what should it be then? If it is neither real nor unreal, if it is neither sat nor asat, then what is effect? That is why this is a separate term, mithya. Mithya means it is not countable. So mithya is supposed to be resolved in its own satyam. Therefore, the effect is the cause. The cause is not the effect. Therefore, the jagat is Brahma, or Brahman is not the jagat. Brahman is distinct from jagat, but not distant from jagat. Just as water is not distant from the ocean, at the same time, water is distinct from the ocean. The ocean is nothing but water, but the water is not the ocean. Similarly, the entire cosmos is nothing but Brahma. Brahman is not the cosmos. Therefore, you can say the whole cosmos is Brahma. Purusha idam sarvam purusha eva. I'm repeating it. The same explanation, well, you have to understand with the, even in Purusha Sukta. This is the main teaching. The whole Jagat is Brahma. Instead, the whole Jagat is Brahma. What it means is, existence of Brahman is existence of Jagat. Why? Existence of the cause is existence of the effect. Existence of water is the existence of the ocean. In fact, water obtains in the form of existence of the ocean. You have to underline this sentence, very important. In what form does water obtain? The water obtains in the form of existence of the ocean. Similarly, existence of Brahman, the reality is the existence of the Jagat. Therefore, Brahman obtains no existence of the Jagat. The existence of the universe is Brahma. Satyam Sat Brahmaiva Sat. Because Satyam, Brahman is Satyam because Brahman is the Sat of the universe. The universe can be reduced to Sat. The ocean can be reduced to water. So Brahman, the whole Jagat is, what is this Sat of the Jagat? The Sat existence of the Jagat is Brahma. Therefore, the whole universe is Brahma. When you say the whole cosmos is Brahma, all subtle elements, gross elements, all elementals, all living beings, all non-living things, all mobile beings, all immobile beings, the actions, the results, the laws which govern results, all experiences, all are reduced to Brahma. Everything is Brahma. Everything is Brahma means everything is consciousness. Everything is knowledge. Everything else means everything includes what? Matter is consciousness. Are matter and consciousness one and the same? No. Consciousness and matter are not one and the same. Are they two? They're not two. Are they one? They're not one. They're neither two nor are they one. But they are non-dual. It means consciousness is distinct from matter. Consciousness is not distensible, not distant from matter. Whereas matter is consciousness. Consciousness is not the matter, but the matter is consciousness. Why? Because consciousness is not distant from matter, but at the same time distinct from matter. Matter does not have independent existence of its own at all. Therefore, existence of consciousness is the existence of matter. In fact, consciousness is the very existence of the matter. And this consciousness, which is the very existence of the matter, is free from all limitations, is of the nature of limitlessness. We have heard many times this. It's all not new lesson for you. Time-wise, spatially, object-wise, limitless. Therefore, there's nothing which is bigger than this consciousness. Therefore, it's also implied with the term Brahma. That lesson is now, what is Brahma? What is that one thing by knowing which everything else becomes known as it were? That one answer has been given. Therefore, everything is Brahma means by knowing Brahma, everything else is known as it were. Which means everything else does not become known, everything else is known as it were because everything else is mithya. Okay. That is said, Purushaha Yeva Idam Vishwam Tapaha Karma Tapaha Purushaha Yeva. There ends the sentence. Then, Brahma Paramritam Idam Vishwam Karma Tapaha Purushaha Yeva means Brahma Paramritam. Means Etad Paramritam Brahma. Paramritam. This is second sentence. Etad Yo Veda. The Paramritam should go with the Etad. Paramritam Etad Brahma. Paramritam Etad Brahma. So Etad, this. Para Amritam. Para, exalted. Amritam, immortal, timeless. Reality implied with term Brahma. This exalted, timeless reality, immortal reality implied with the term Brahman. Etad Brahma. Guhayam Nihitam. For immediately the question comes up, what is that Brahma? Which alone is in the hem of the whole cosmos. The whole universe is that Brahma. Everything can be said to be Brahma. There's nothing which is not Brahma. That is, that lesson is very clear. But what is that Brahma? We understand the reality is Brahma. Reality is limitless, therefore improve the term Brahma. Reality is the name of existence of the Jagat. And what is that reality which lends existence to the whole Jagat, which is the name of existence of the whole universe? What is it? Exalted, limitless, eternal, immortal reality implied with the term Brahma. What is that? He says, Guhayam Nihitam. This is where the secret is revealed. Guhayam Nihitam. It is hidden, Nihitam. It is placed, located, hidden in the cave. In Taittiriya Upanishad, of course, this is the first Upanishad. But still, I can refer to that. Yo Veda Nihitam Guhayam. Parame Vyoman So Oshnute Sarvan Kama Ansaha. The same thing comes here itself. Guhayam Nihitam Yetad Paramritam Brahma Guhayam Nihitam Yaha Veda. Yaha Veda. The person who discovers, who knows, who understands this Brahma kept hidden in the cave, Guhayam Nihitam. That person, Avidya Grantim Vikirati. The next sentence, first one sentence, the class is over. All that is, there is only Purushaha Yeva. Only the cosmic person, Purushaha, Ishwaraha, Bhagavan. And that Bhagavan, Ishwaraha, the cosmic being, macrocosmic being, nothing but exalted immortal reality, Brahma. And which is hidden in the cave. And one who so where is it hidden also is said, next sentence. And the benefit of discovering it also is mentioned here itself. Where is it hidden? That is said, Guhayam Nihitam. So if we discover that, he who understands or knows that in the cave, what does he attain? What benefit does he get? Avidya Grantim Vikirati. Vikirati. Like gachati, patati, likati, vikirati. Vikirati resolves avidya grantim. Grantihi is a noun. Not. Grantihi is a feminine noun. Grantihi, not. Avidya grantim vikirati. Resolves. He destroys, it means destroy, you can take it, resolves the knot of ignorance. Avidya grantim vikirati. Why it is, ignorance is likened to a knot? Because if ignorance is there, ignorance inevitably, choicelessly will result in wrong identity. Wrong identity will definitely result in wrong perception. Wrong perception results in wrong notions. Wrong notions will result in desires, the fundamental problem, the sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, as a result of which there will be definitely there'll be then desires, and desire will impel one to do karma. Karma will produce palam, and to exhaust the palam, one has to be born again. Therefore, the avidya keeps one in samsara. Therefore, avidya is always not. All confusions, all emotional, disturbances associated with ajnanam only. That's why avidya granthihi, not. It's not just a single thing, isn't it? It's a not. So avidya granthim vikirati, this person destroys, resolves this knot of ignorance. Who? Yaha yetad paramritam brahma guhayam nihitam veda saha avidya granthim vikirati. Yaha veda saha vikirati. He who knows, he alone resolves this knot of ignorance. Which means, along with ignorance, what will go? If ignorance is resolved, if ignorance is the cause, the effect of ignorance cannot exist independently without its cause. Same logic applies everywhere. Without the cause, no effect can exist independently. And the avidya is the cause of samsara, means the cause is destroyed, effect also becomes resolved. Ajnanam is resolved means along with ajnanam, ajnanam's product, the product of ignorance, samsara, the life of transmigration fraught with this experience of pairs of opposites, the samsara also will resolve. Which means there is freedom. That is made clear in this mantra. So where is it available? Where is it hidden, that Brahma? So when all it is made very clear, everything is Brahma means, then can we ask the question, where is it available? If all that is there is only Brahma, then why should we ask where is it available? So where is it available for what? That must be the question. Everything is Brahma. Everything you see is Brahma. Everything you hear is Brahma. Everything you smell is Brahma. Everything you taste is Brahma. Everything you feel, touch is Brahma. Everything is Brahma. Every pain and pleasure is Brahma. Every emotion is Brahma. Everything is Brahma. So what should be the question? Why does Upanishad specifically say guhayam nihitam? Even though everything is Brahma, nothing which is not Brahma, that Brahma, that absolute reality, the exalted reality, immortal reality, limitless reality, therefore employ the term Brahma, is available for recognition, available for knowing, available for knowledge only in the cave. Which cave? We want to book tickets immediately. Cave means which cave? Where is it available? Which cave? Ellora. Immediately you can book a ticket. No, not a real cave. In the cave of Antahkaranam. In the cave of mind, it is available for recognition, which means we need not step out of the house. It becomes an excuse for people not to leave the house also. Isn't it? So you need not step out of the house, need not go anywhere. It is very much available always in the cave of mind. In somebody else's mind, no. In your own mind. You can never enter into anybody else's mind. And in your mind, you are not able to come out of it. That's a problem. So, available in the cave of, in the cave means, the cave here is not a real cave. The cave is the Antahkaranam. It's available for recognition. If a person discovers this truth in the cave of mind, and definitely he resolves the knot of ignorance. And along with the knot of ignorance, the ignorance caused to samsara also resolves. He becomes free from the hold of samsara. He attains freedom. That jnana phalam also is given here itself. then how to discover that in the cave of mind? That is going to be the subject matter of the next topic. Next section. So only one thing I want to tell you here before I go move on to the next lesson, the fresh lesson. Why mind is likened to a cave? Why antahkaranam is said to be the cave? Because suppose some treasure hunt, you know, some the highly valuable thing is kept in the cave, means not somewhere on the way to the cave, not in the middle of the cave. You have to go to the dead end of the cave. It means how far the cave goes, we don't know. How deep the cave is, we do not know. So, but somewhere there's an entrance, and you enter into the cave, and every step you're carefully searching on both sides when you're walking. And then the cave is dark also, no light, nothing. Cave means you can't have light there. It must be dark. So you keep on searching. And you have to go and you don't find it. What you are searching for, you are not able to discover in the very entrance or the middle. You keep on searching. And how far you can go? How far can you go? And the dead end of the cave comes, there your head hits. You know? And then you have to stop. Why you stop? One point comes inside the cave, you have to stop. Because you cannot proceed anymore. You cannot go ahead. You have to stop your search there. Why? The dead end of the cave has come. You cannot go beyond. Because first, the cave comes to an end. Like that. In antahkaranam also, what about so many? We have so many thoughts. There are so many thoughts. And emotion, every emotion is a thought. Every experience is a thought. Cognition is a thought. Therefore, suppose if we said tree is, tree cognition is. House is, house cognition is. Every cognition of every object is in the form of a thought. All are thoughts only. So you just, every thought you pertaining to any object, every thought pertaining to every object, you negate. Oh, not this, not this, not this, not this. And finally, you reach the dead end of the cave of mind. What is the dead end of the cave of the mind? Dead end of the cave of mind is the point beyond which you cannot go. You have to stop. That is the knowledge of the existence of the self. Knowledge of the existence of one's own self in terms of I am, obtaining in the thought. That am stands for existence, and I, either existence also, then go to I. So this I is the dead end of the cave of mind, without the existence of which no other thought is possible. You have to think very carefully here. The knowledge of existence of one's own self in terms of I am rises in the form of a thought. This knowledge rises in the form of a thought. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of an object rises in the form of a thought. Knowledge of one's own self also rises in the form of a thought. And here, knowledge of existence of one's own self in terms of I am rises in the form of a thought. If this knowledge of existence of one's own self obtains, then any other thought is possible. If you do not know you are, do you think you can know the world exists? How can anyone have knowledge of the existence of the world not knowing one's own existence? I do not know whether I am or not, but I am sure the world exists. Can anyone say that? I do not know whether I am here or not, but I know there's a time. I do not know whether I am, but I know there is space. I do not know whether I am, but I know there is world. No, it's impossible. So knowledge of the existence of the world is possible only if there is knowledge of the existence of one's own self. You must know you are in order to be able to know the world is. I'm repeating the sentence. You must know you are in order to be able to know the world is. Before, knowledge of the existence of the world presupposes the knowledge of the existence of one's own self. Therefore, I am. So knowledge of anything rises in him of a thought, and the knowledge of existence of one's own self also rises in him of a thought. I am. Why do I say this I am, the thought rises? Because there is a time this thought is resolved. It is not there. There is a time the thought rises. There is a time this thought exists. There is a time this thought again resolves. Which means, how do you know it's a thought? That which comes and goes is a thought. That which comes and goes is a thought. How do we say that the thought comes and goes? Because there are three states of experience, which are said to be three states of mind. And nobody can deny one's experience. Everyone is blessed with this experience of three states of mind, three states of experience. So here the teaching does not contradict your reasoning. You have to accept there is waking state and there is a deep sleep state. Then there is dream state. Again there is deep sleep state. Again there is waking state. Which means there are three states of experience, and definitely there's a deep sleep state of experience. In fact, whenever this thought, the knowledge of existence of one's own self, obtaining in the form of a thought, in terms of I am, is resolved, is not there, that state of mind is called deep sleep state. If knowledge of existence of self, one's own self, in terms of I am, obtaining of thought is, we call it a waking state. There's a time this knowledge is not there means the thought is resolved. Knowledge is unmanifest, because the power of knowledge is unmanifest. And there's a time this thought is manifest. This thought is, which means thought comes and goes. Comes and goes means There's a time it remains resolved. There's a time it rises. In fact, in Tamil, why the thought is called ennam? Eyuvadal ennam. Very that itself tells. Echi. Eyuvadal ennam means what? That which rises is called thought in Sanskrit. Ennam. Thought. Which means thought comes and goes. Therefore, it's very clear how many ever thoughts rise, the world is so wide, the objects which constitute the world are innumerable and countless. Therefore, the thoughts are many. And the thoughts pertaining to the objects are many. The cognitions of thoughts pertaining to the objects are many. Emotions are again, subtle emotions are also many. So the too many thoughts. And all these thoughts are possible only because of this one particular given thought. That is what? Knowledge of existence of the self. I am. Without which no other thought is possible. That's why especially this I am is said to be even ahankara. I sense aham asmi iti jnanam. Asmita. So this, and that is, therefore, this I sense is taken to be the dead end of the cave of mind. That's why guhayam nihitam. Means if we go to the dead end of the mind, which is what? There's the I thought. The knowledge of existence of the self, obtaining in our thought in terms of I am. Then if we find out what is this thought, what is this cognition? What is this ahamasmi iti jnanam? Where does this thought rise from? Where does it exist? Where does it resolve? It comes and goes. Where does it come from? Where does it exist? And again disappears. There's a time it disappears. Whenever this thought resolves, we call it a deep sleep state. When it rises, we call it a waking state. So where does it resolve? Find out the source of this I thought. So discovering the source of this I, the thought, is actually discovering the source of all the thoughts. We discover the truth of one wave, is as good as discovering the truth of all the waves. Similarly, you don't need to discover the truth of every wave. It is enough. If you discover the truth of one thought, it is as good as discovering the truth of all the thoughts. It is as good as discovering the truth of the entire antahkaranam. But discovering the truth of I is actually discovering the very truth or the existence of the mind. Where does the mind exist? What is the existence of the mind? So discovering the truth of one mind, one's own mind, is as good as discovering the truth of all the minds. Discovering the truth of all the minds is discovering the truth of all the objects, the entire world. There's no truth other than Brahma. And he who discovers the truth, yaha yetad paramritam para amritam paramritam Brahma guhayam nihitam veda, saha avidya granthim vikirati. this was and where iha. The teacher tells, and he teaches very kind, is hey Soumya, oh dear student, he is given the secret. Where is Brahman available for recognition? The secret has been revealed. And the benefit of discovery of Brahman also has been revealed, which means now nobody can stop. You must go and discover now. But how to discover Brahman in the cave of mind? This is going to be the subject matter of the next section. Okay, we'll go to the next section. So Jagat is Brahma, we understood. But still, this Brahma is what? Abstract, subtlest, unobjectifiable, imperceptible, inconceivable, indescribable, because it is attributeless. If it is subtlest, abstract, then it's unobjectifiable, imperceptible, inconceivable, indescribable. How can we arrive at that Brahma? It's available for discovery in one's own antahkaranam, guhayam nihitam. Fine. Therefore, Upanishad here is explaining here how can the most abstract, subtlest, formless, attributeless, unobjectifiable, imperceptible, indescribable, inconceivable Brahma truth can be arrived at. How can we arrive at that truth? Okay, next mantra. Go next mantra. And this mantra is actually a Mahavakya mantra. Why Mahavakya mantra? No. That Brahma you are. If it is said, it's a Mahavakyam. What's a Mahavakyam? We know very well, Mahavakyam, a great statement, is a statement which reveals the identity between the tiny you and the limitless whole, Ishvara. The Mahavakyam. So already Jagat Brahma Aikyam has happened. It is very clear. Jagat is Brahma, we understood. Jagat Brahma Aikyam is already understood. That Brahma you are means it is Brahma, Jiva Brahma Aikyam also will be clear. What? This mantra is this first mantra of the second section of second Mundaka is a Mahavakya mantra. It reveals Jiva Ishvara Swarupa Aikya Jnanam. In fact, it not only this begins like this, the whole section, like how the previous section, you must have thought only this has come from Brahma, this has come from Brahma, this has come from Brahma. You must have felt a little bored. But here, all the mantras are mantras of Mahavakyas. All the mantras reveal the same thing now. This is how we understand how there is non-dual reality is. Why do you say non-dual? We don't say one. Consciousness and matter are one. Nor do we say they are two. If they are neither one, not two, then what is it? How do we say that? They are non-dual. Non-dual means reality essentially one. That is you. You are that Brahma. Okay. Avisannihitam guhacharam nama. Avisannihitam guhacharam nama. Mahatpadamatraitat samarpitam. Mahatpadamatraitat samarpitam. ஜானசரேம் பரம் விஜயம் பிரிப்பீட் மந்திர அகேன் ரிப்பீட் ரீட் டூ த்ரீ டைம்ஸ் ஆவிசன்னிஹிதம் குஹாச்சரம் நாம ஆவிசன்னிஹிதம் குஹாச்சரம் நாம மஹத்பதம் அத்ரைதத் சமர்ப்பிதம் மஹத்பதம் அத்ரைதத் சமர்ப்பிதம் மஹத்பதம் அத்ரைதத் சமர்ப்பிதம் சதசத்வரேண்யம் 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 பரம் விஜ்ஞானாத் யத்வரிஷ்டம் ப்ரஜானாம் பரம் விஜ்ஞானாத் யத்வரிஷ்டம் ப்ரஜானாம் இஃப் யூ பிரேக் திஸ் மந்திர ஆவிஹி சந்நிஹித் ஆவிஸ்ஸந்நிஹிதம் When you read as a mantra, read as a mantra, we read like this: Avisannihitam guhacharam nama mahatpadamatraitat samarpitam yejat prananimishaccha yadetajjanatha sadasadvarenyam param vijnanad yadvarishtam prajanam. You break it. Avihi. People, Tamil people, they have their own meaning of the word avi. Okay? Here, that is not the meaning. Avihi sannihitam guhacharam nama mahatpadam atra yetat mahatpadam atra yetat samarpadam பிதம் ஏஜத்து பிராணத்து நிமிஷத்து சந்தி கிளாஸ் ஐ ஆஸ்க் யூ ஓகே நாட் நவ் ஐ வாண்ட் ஆஸ்க் நவ் ஐ வாண்ட் டு சம்ஸ்கிருதம் நவ் பட் ஐ ஆஸ்க் திஸ் சந்தி கிளாஸ் ஏஜத்து பிராணத்து நிமிஷத்து ச ஏஜத் பிராணன் நிமிஷ பிரேக் இட் ஏஜத்து பிராணத்து நிமிஷத் ச யத் ஏதத் ஜானத் தசத்வரேண்யம் பரம் விஜ்ஞானாத் யத்வரிஷ்டம் ப்ரஜானாம் So let us see the word meanings first. Unfoldment we'll see later. ஆவிஹி the word avihi actually means self-effulgent. Swaprakashakam. Avihi means swaprakashakam. Swaprakashakam. Swaprakashakam means what? Self-effulgent, self-revealing, self-evident. Avihi. So this Brahman, the Swarupam of Brahman is unfolded here. We'll see that later on, but now understand the word means avihi. Means self-effulgent, self-revealing, self-evident. Sannihitam. See, nihitam means placed, hidden. But sannihitam, sannihita means hidden, placed evidently. And here, so we said the word nama literally means name. But here the nama should not be taken as a name. Nama means well known, well evident, well known. So evidently existent, well known. Nama, well known. Well known as what? Guhacharam. This self-effulgent, self-revealing, self-evident reality, which is evidently existent, which is also well known as Guhacharam. Guhacharam iti nama, known as Guhacharam. Guhacharam means what? So Guhayam charati yad. Tad Guhacharam, that which moves in the cave. Moves in the cave means what? That which indwells in the cave. That which indwells the cave. That which is in the cave. That which is moving in the cave means that which indwells the cave. Guhayam yad charati. Tad guhacharam. So that which moves in the cave means that which indwells the cave. Indwells the cave of what? So the indweller of the cave of mind. Obtaining in the Golakam called heart. Heart is the Golakam, and in that Golakam there is Antahkaranam, which is a cave, and in that cave always is available for recognition, therefore known as Guhacharam. Guhacharam. Mahat Padam. Guhacharam Nama. So well known as Guhacharam. Then Mahat Padam. Mahat means great. Padam, the great support, the substratum. Mahat Padam. Great support, great substratum. Mahat Padam. Atra etad samarpitam. Mahat Padam. அத்ர ஏதத் சமர்ப்பிதம். பிஃபோர் வி சீ தி மீனிங் வில் சீ தட் ஏஜத் சீ தி நெக்ஸ்ட் ஏஜத். ஏஜத் மீன்ஸ் தக்காராந்த சப்த தட் விச் the one that which is moving is what ஏஜத். Like Shatruanta Shabda. Ejat. In masculine gender, it becomes nominative Ejan. But here Ejat, because Brahman is due to gender word. Therefore, that which moves, the moving one, Ejat, Pranat. So Ejat means all those mobile beings that are taken to be Ejat. That which moves, ajat, pranat, that which breathes, nimishat, that which winks. Nimishat means winking the eye, opens and closes its eyes, nimishat. So ajat, pranat, nimishat, all these three words indicate the mobile living beings, those beings which are moving, those beings which are breathing, those beings which are winking, I mean opening and closing their eyelids. Okay, now yadi etat, we'll see the next one. ஏஜத்து பிராணத்து நிமிஷத்து. தென் நெக்ஸ்ட் கம்ஸ் யத் ஏதத்து. யத் ஏதத்து மீன்ஸ் யூ ஹேட் டு சே ஆல் தீஸ் பீயிங்ஸ் விச் ஆர் அலைவ், ஆல் லிவிங் பீயிங்ஸ் விச் ஆர் மொபைல் த மூவிங் ஒன்ஸ் அண்ட் விச் ஆர் பிரீத்திங் and which are winking, which are opening and closing their eyelids, all these beings, yadi yetate indicates all these beings, all these, atra samarpitam. Now you have to bring that word, atra samarpitam. All these are atra samarpitam. Samarpita means, with samarpitam it really means offered. All these are offered. Means what? All these are offered unto this Brahman. Literally it means, which means all these are based on Brahman. Based on this Brahman. All these are based on this Brahman means all these have Brahman as their support. Atra samarpitam yadetat. Atra samarpitam means all these beings have Brahman as their substratum, Brahman as a support. All these are based on Brahman. And with what Brahma? We have other two words. Sat asat varenyam, sadasat varenyam. Sadasat varenyam. Sat means, here, please, don't take hatta asat as different in the usual sense. The word sat stands for all those with forms. Sat with form. Asat without form. Sat is samurtam. Asat means amurtam. Sat stands for the one with the form. Asat means without form. Sad asat varenyam. Varenyam means that which is to be, that which is to be accomplished, attained, sought, absolutely. Varenyam. We have one more word there. Param vijnanat yad varishtam. Varishtam means the greatest. Varaha variyan varishtam. Greater, greatest. Varishtam. The greatest. Varenyam. That which is to be attained. The greatest to be attained. The greatest to be sought. The greatest to be accomplished. Varishtam varenyam. So varenya means that which is to be accomplished, sought. And what is that greatest which is to be sought, which is to be accomplished, attained is varishtam varenyam. Yet, so this Brahman is with the form, without form, it is the greatest, it is the Brahman is something to be sought, and param vijnanat, yet param vijnanat. Vijnanat param means it is not comprehensible. It is distinct from the Vijnanam stands for comprehensible. It's distinct from all the comprehensible things. It means it is beyond comprehension. Vijnanat param means beyond comprehension. Incomprehensible. Vijnanat param. For whom? Prajanam. It is incomprehensibly subtlest. Vijnanat param means it is distinct from all those which can be comprehended. Were incomprehensible, beyond comprehension, comprehension of all the people. Prajanam means manushyanam jananam. Jananam vijnanatparam, it is beyond the comprehension of people. And janatha etat. Etat janatha means janatha etat, know this. What have you understood? Only the word means you understood. What is Brahma? It is Avihi. It is it's not something unknowable. Okay? It is it's evidently existent. Brahman is evidently existent. That is why Sannihitam. My God, every time, wherever you see, what you see is Brahman. Evidently existent. Avihi, but it is self-effulgent, self-revealing. But it is also known as Guhacharam. It is known as that which moves in the mind, the cave of mind, which means that which indwells the cave of mind. And Mahatpadam, this is the great substratum support. Therefore, this is the great substratum support. Therefore, what happens? All the living beings, those beings which are moving, which are breathing, and which are opening and closing their eyelids, which are winking, all this, yadetat attasamarpitam, all these are offered unto Brahman, means all these have Brahman as their substratum. All these are based on Brahman. And with Brahman, Sat, Asat. Brahman is actually without form. Brahman is with form. Brahman is with form. Brahman is without form. and Brahman is the greatest, most exalted, Varishtam, most exalted. Brahman is that which is to be absolutely sought, Varenyam, the most exalted, to be accomplished, to be sought is Brahma, Varishtam, Varenyam. And this Brahman is what? Beyond the comprehension of all the people. Prajanam Vijnanat Param. Prajanam Vijnanat Param. It's beyond the comprehension of all the people. It's incomprehensibly subtlest. Therefore, beyond the comprehension of all the people. And may you know that truth. May you know that Brahma. Etat Janatha. This is the literal meaning of the word, mantra. Etat Janatha. Shankaracharya says, Avihi means Prakasham, so Prakashakam. So it shines. Swayam Bhasate. At the same time, it brings everything to light, into light. It illumines everything. It shines by itself, but it illumines everything. Sannihitam. How closely Brahman is placed. How evidently Brahman is existent. Because what is the distance between light and opaque? There's no distance. There's no distance between the experiencer and the experience. Therefore, every experience is Brahma. Because in every experience, there is experiencer. Therefore, if every experience is experiencer. Because without experiencer, experience is not possible. And there's no distance between the illuminator light and the illumining object. Similarly, there's no distance between the experiencer and the experience. Every experience is experiencer Brahma. Every experience is experiencer Brahma. Therefore, evidently existent. Nobody can deny one's experiences, one's own experience. You cannot deny your experience of deep sleep state. You cannot deny your experience of dream state. You cannot deny your experience of deep sleep state. How can we deny any of your experiences? And even in the waking state itself, you have experience of pairs of opposites. Experience of pain, experience of pleasure, experience of loss, experience of gain, experience of emotions. In every experience, what is inevitably, what is unavoidably present is the experiencer. The experiencer and experience are inseparable. Even though experience is experiencer, experience is distinct from the experience, still every experience is experiencer. And the experiencer is evidently existent. Very important lesson. Experiencer is evidently existent in every experience. And that experiencer, evidently existent in every experience, is another than Brahma. Experiencer is Brahma. Therefore, experience also is Brahma. Therefore, experienced is also Brahma. we'll see that anyway. That's why sannihitam. The sam is the prefix there. Sannihitam. And Shankaracharya says, how? It is this Brahma obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, which alone shines, which alone glows, jwalati, bhrajati, jwalati, bhrajati. I'm not saying, not my own words. Shankaracharya says, jwalati, bhrajati. How? Vagadi upadibihi, which alone shines through all the upadis. Every sense power is an upadi. Antahkarnam is an upadi. Antahkarnam shines. All five sense powers shine. Powers of organs of actions shine. Therefore, all through all the upadis, such as organ of speech, etc., it is Brahman which alone shines. Because the physical body by itself is what? Inert. But inert matter, physical body, now is alive, conscious, active, moving around because of the manifestation of Brahma. And manifestation of Brahma, because of that, is the body is alive and active, which means there is all the subtle powers which constitute subtle body, which endures the physical body, is also conscious and alive, sentient, because of this Brahma. For through all these powers, that which shines is Brahma. Therefore, evidently existent, sannihitam. And it is this Brahma shining through all upadis, also experiences all the objects through all the sense organs. This Brahman alone is there as the experiencer of all the objects through all the sense organs. Which means Brahman is not the experiencer, but the experiencer is Brahma. Without experiencer, experience is not possible. Without experience, the experienced cannot have the status of being experienced. Therefore, the experiencer is another than Brahma. For sannihitam, which means it is the Brahman in your pure consciousness, alone is recognized in the minds of all the beings, as all the pranis, because it is Brahman which alone illumines all the sense organs, all organs of actions, the mind, thereby the entire physical body. Even though Brahman as consciousness is of the nature of actionlessness, but through, because of his upadis, it looks as though Brahman functions. Even though Brahman is of the nature of actionlessness, it seems as though Brahman is functioning. As involved in the functions of seeing, hearing, smelling, etc. Therefore, here, sannihitam means in every function there is Brahma. In the function of seeing, there is a seer involved. In the function of hearing, there is a hearer involved. In the function of smelling, there is a smeller involved. In the function of touching, as the one who touches is involved. Therefore, in every function, there is Brahman involved. As the seer, hearer, Brahman is there. As the knower, Brahman is there. As the experiencer, Brahman is there. In every experience, there is Brahman is there as the experiencer. In every function, Brahman is there as the one who functions, as the seer, as the hearer, etc. Therefore, Brahman is evidently existent. I think I'll continue the next class. Okay? Very important. Now, I'm sure this whole section you'll enjoy. Why must I enjoy? Because the whole section, by the time we finish this section, you must say what you should say. If you say, I know Brahma now, I said, then you would not have not understood. You will say, Aham Brahma Asmi. You will not say, I know Brahma, but you will say, you're supposed to say, Aham Brahma Asmi. When? By the time I complete this section. And Shankaracharya says, if anybody says, I know Brahma, then teach that person again. If you say, I know Brahma, you make Brahman as an object and you dissociate yourself from Brahma. If you say, Aham Brahma Asmi, that Brahman is not an object of your knowledge, Brahman is yourself. Okay, so by the end of this section, you are supposed to say, Aham Brahma Asmi. You all have to say. Then the problem is with my teacher, okay? Teaching, not yourself. And I have to be blamed for that. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.